bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Third and Central podcast, the only podcast dedicated solely to the University of Louisville baseball program. This is Matt Sefcovic, and as always, I am joined by Terry Pennington from Inside the Louisville Baseball as the Cardinals are back in the Super Regionals. It's the first time since 2022, first time since hosting since 2019 when East Carolina visited here before Louisville went to their fifth College World Series appearance. So hopefully we're going to have the same outcome this time that we had last time we hosted, and we can etch our sixth College World Series appearance, get out to Omaha, win a couple games. But we've got a lot of exciting stuff going on. This past weekend, Terry, we've met. I feel like I've seen you more than I've seen my wife over the past couple of days with the lives and the episodes we've been doing. But man, it was just an awesome time to be a Louisville baseball fan kind of after the season we've had. You know, Coach Mack talked about, you know, there's highs, there were lows, but end of the day, we're in the Super Regionals, and this is where Louisville baseball is supposed to be. So ton to talk about. Glad you're back safely from Nashville. How was the final days you were down there? I know we talked right before the championship, but how were the final days down there in Nashville before you headed back home?
And always, I enjoy Nashville. I'm not, one of those people that like lives for going to Nashville or anything like that, but I definitely did enjoy my time down there. Look, the W's make it, you know, so much sweeter. It makes that, I stayed about a mile away from the baseball stadium. Makes that, you know, felt like I almost just floated on back to the hotel after the game on Sunday night. So it was, you know, just great to be there and celebrate with all the, you know, there was a lot of Louisville fans in there on Sunday night. That was fun to get to. I think some people definitely knew that they, after Vanderbilt had lost, I'm sure some extra people might have drove down and been able to catch the game. So just so happy for those kids, man. So happy for their families. And just, you know, it's been a hard couple years, and I you know, I'm sure we'll get into it here in a little while, but Dan didn't shy away from the fact afterwards that it's been a hard couple years. And just to, you know, you kind of feel like, I'm not 100% sure if this is the right phrase, but, you know, you're back where you belong, kind of. And it was a long road to get back there, and I think that that's what makes it even sweeter a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you could tell in his post game that he did on television, you know, as soon as the game ended, you know, they stick a camera in their coach's face, and you could tell he was kind of fighting back tears as he was getting started with the interview, just because, you know, watching the team celebrate on the field and just like you said, what the past couple of years have been and the road to get back to where this program belongs, you could see just kind of that weight lifted off his shoulders and like just that sigh of relief, a man, like it's sweet to be back here and this is where the program belongs. So definitely really good to see. And then he kind of showed that same emotion in the press conference as well, which I'll let you talk about as we get into that, because you were front and center. I got good angle and good film of that. So we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes, but let's run down through the regionals just to kind of bring everybody up to speed on what we are looking at. Obviously, Louisville will host Miami this weekend. You got Florida State, who's the 9 seed, at Oregon State, who's the 8 seed. Arizona will travel to North Carolina, the number 5 overall. You got Coastal Carolina, the 13, going to Auburn as the 4. UTSA going to UCLA. Murray State at Duke, that's an exciting one. West Virginia at LSU, the 6 overall seed. And then 14, Tennessee is going to Arkansas, who's the number 3 overall seed and the highest ranked team left in the tournament. Which regional do you think of all those, obviously outside of Louisville, where that's the one we're most looking forward to, any of those kind of stick out? Like, what are you most excited about of the other, I guess, 7 pairings?
Yeah, I really do like some of those pairings. I think some of them are really, really good. I think probably the most overlooked one, maybe I'll start there. I think the most overlooked one is going to be probably Auburn and Coastal.
Yeah.
I think just obviously Coastal's won a national title, pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're a name people know, right? But it's still a Sun Belt team, right? And so you overlook them a little bit. You keep kind of, I think some people will just kind of wait for like them to just kind of come back to reality a little bit, but it's a little bit of a different Coastal team. They really pitch. They've always had teams that can really hammer the baseball. This team does it with arms. And so, you know, I think they're, you know, they may be primed to go in there and cause some problems for Auburn. I think that's going to be a great one. Obviously, Tennessee and Arkansas is a heavyweight matchup. There are just dudes everywhere in that super. So, they got having it in Arkansas, I think, is a pretty big advantage. Really tough place to play. Huge, what is that seat? Over 11,000, I think, in there. Big ball. I mean, that's like a minor league baseball stadium down there. So, that'll be a really, really fun atmosphere. I'm really looking forward to getting to watch that one as the weekend goes on. I'm trying to think. I think Carolina and Arizona is a great matchup. Yeah. Let's see. Arizona can, they can hit. They've got a little pitching, but they hit the ball very well. We dominated them, several months ago. But, I mean, we were all over them. But there's dudes everywhere. UNC has the pitching that might give them the advantage. I love the contrast in the Florida State Oregon State series. And again, not that Oregon State doesn't have pitching, but they're more so a team that really scores runs, really hits the baseball. And I mean, Florida State's, I mean, their pitching lineup is as good as there is in the country. So, you know, in terms of 1, 2, 3, so I think that's really fun. Love that West Virginia's back. That one, you know, down, that's a tough ask, right? It's tough to go in there and win 2 at the box down in Louisiana. I'm touching on all of them, I know, but I'm trying to think, I missed one. Oh, but the Murray State one. Oh, man. I mean, how exciting for the Racers, man. I mean, they were on their last leg yesterday. Those dudes, they've got guys out there. They want to pull the pitcher. There's no one else really to pitch. The guy, he loses it. He seems to find it again in the nick of time. So, you know, you got my guy Nick Shuddy out there slinging it. You know, 118 pitches.
Yeah.
The first game comes back out for, what, at 2 1/3? 2 2, 2 1/3, yep. I think, again. Just a bulldog of a dude. So I'm excited to see him get to run out there. I saw the diagram of what Duke was doing to their stadium today to bring in all the extra seating at that. You know, for those who have not seen Duke's baseball field, it's the configuration is really funny. So they used to play, they have one on campus, and that's where they play now. But they, for a long time, were playing all their games at the Bulls Stadium, the AAA facility, it's which is obviously very nice. We just were there for the ACC tournament. But when we played there a couple years ago, I went to Duke's camp, which the campus is, first off, Durham dump. But the campus is amazing. And so just being there, I go over to the baseball stadium, and at that point, they're basically just practicing there. There was no bathrooms. There was no place to sell concessions. It just has stands that, like, run up the back behind home plate, and it just, like, has this, like, cantilever that, like, hangs over. That was it. That's all they have. And so they're bringing in all kinds of stands to sit down the lines, temporary structures. I mean, I don't know how many they're going to get in there. It's still not going to be very many. I don't know if there's a – there's got to be a baseline limit, like what you have to be able to, like, have this many seats if you're going to host or something. But really excited for the Racers to get a chance to go down there. That's going to be a fun matchup. You know, just like, can Pollard get Duke over the edge, right? They've been to the Supers feuded a couple, at least two, three different times recently. So, you know, and it's, there's just a lot swirling around him, right? Is he in the mix at Virginia? If, you know, well, you know, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, the Wake Forest coach might have just, you know, yapped himself out of a potential job. But I mean, you know, if he was to go, is he in the mix at Wake? You know, there's a lot of his name's always in the mix, right? Because I mean, if you can build a program at Duke, you could probably build it anywhere. So tons going on. I'm excited about it. Just, it's the best weekend of college baseball. And I love Omaha. It's awesome. You know, you get those two games a day, especially, you know, early on in the week, and it's the best, but it's great. No doubt. I was fortunate enough to get to go in 19, had a blast. My dad and I out there watching Louisville, watching our Wolverines, you know, the other day, super fun. But this is the weekend to me that just stands out. It's like my favorite round of the NCAA tournament for basketball is always the Sweet 16. You've got two time slots, two games on each time slot, two nights in a row. It's the best. You've got, you know, you've kind of typically, you're kind of, yeah, there might be a Murray State here. There might be, you know, somebody who doesn't belong or whatever, but it's time for the heavyweights to play now. And I'm really excited that Louisville is back in that mix and, you know, looking to make that return trip back to Nebraska.
No, and I think you touched on a lot of really good points there. This is kind of the weekend where, you know, the heavyweights kind of, you know, set themselves apart from the rest of the field, which we saw that in a good majority of the regionals. But like you said, you've got the Murray States, you know, you've got the, you know, West Virginia, who, not that they're a bad team, but, you know, you've got West Virginia, you've got Miami, who's a three seed. You know, you've got some other teams that have stepped up. And at this point in the season, you're really good, or you're really hot. It's one of the two, right? Or sometimes it could be both. And you just hope you don't run into one of the teams that's really good and really hot at the same time. And you know, I think Louisville and Miami are both kind of teams that are good, but they're hot right now. Yeah, I think we were both, if I'm not mistaken, 1-6 or 1-7 in our final, you know, games down the stretch. And then, you know, run through the regionals, and here we are in the Supers. So, you know, same thing with Murray. I mean, they're going to go down to Duke, like you said, in this makeshift stadium. I saw the renderings today, and, you know, they were getting a lot of flack on social media, and the, you know, people were like, I hope Murray fans enjoy porta potties, because that's what they're going to have down there. And like you said, they're bringing in bleachers all over the place, and that's just what it is. You know, that's the facilities that they have. When you talk about Pollard, you know, looking to go somewhere else. And I know we're getting way off topic here, but that's the reason why when there's no investment into the program and that's what you have to work with, you know, you're going to search around, you're going to sniff and see what other offers may come your way. And like you said, if you can build a baseball program at Duke with what he's got, that dude can coach. We've talked about him before. I've talked to, you know, other, you know, friends, baseball, college baseball friends outside of, you know, podcasts and just all that stuff. And Pollard's name always comes up as one of those dudes that you would love to have him build your program, just because what he's been able to do at a place like Duke, who really didn't have any history before. And like you said, he just continues that trajectory. And I'd love to see them, you know, take that next step for him. But at the same time, I'm, you know, Murray, a state school, like, I'm all in on Dan Skirka this weekend. Hopefully they pull off a couple wins down in Durham. So one other thing I want to touch on before we get into the recap of the regional final down in Nashville is just some records by Power Four conferences, because I thought this was interesting. You know, the big bad SEC, they are touted and they get put up on a pedestal because they got 13 teams in this year. And it's a good conference. It is. Like, there's no disputing that. But the SEC, the opening weekend, went 27-10, and four of their 13 teams advanced to Super Regionals. ACC, on the flip side, went 22-10, and nine of their teams advance, or I'm sorry, they got nine bids and five of them advance to the Super Regionals. So not as many teams got in. They had four less teams in the field, and one more team got to the Super. So I think that just goes to show the depth of the conference. You know, the ACC has been really strong all year. We've talked about that. Coach McDonald has talked about that. You know, the guys at D1, the guys at ACC D1, you know, they continue to talk about it. You talk about Bradley Smart and, you know, those guys, they do a really good job covering the conference and talk about how deep it is. But until you see it on full display across the country against other conferences, you really, it's kind of hard to gauge how good you really are until you start playing, you know, teams from around the country. So I was really happy, obviously, to see the SEC struggle like they did, but at the same time, see the ACC have the success they did. What are your kind of thoughts and takeaways from that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always kind of interesting, like when you get into tournament play or things like that, and you start comparing the conferences. You know, I've always thought, like, in terms of college football, you know, when you get to bowl season and people start looking at what the records are of different teams in bowls, well, I'll be completely honest with you, if it's not a playoff game, it's just an exhibition game. And so if the SEC, who obviously thinks of themselves very highly in football as well, right? I mean, that's like where they really want to stake their claim. You know, if they go, you know, whatever it is, 4-9 in football, well, I don't really care. That doesn't tell me that they're not as good, because it's a bowl game and half the guys are sitting out. Hmm. But in the NCAA basketball tournament or in the baseball tournament, no one's sitting out. I mean, you might have some guys hurt or something, but I mean, everybody does at this point. Everyone's, you know, is you've got some guy on the DL or something like that. My real opinion on it is that I think that a lot of the SEC bias and things like that in college baseball comes from the guys at D1. And I know that they have guys that cover the ACC for sure. Bradley does a great job. Mm-hmm. I've seen Bradley out multiple times this year at Louisville games. He does a phenomenal job popping around in and out different venues. He, you know, multiple venues in a weekend. I mean, he does a phenomenal job. I saw him up. I just saw him at the ACC tournament a couple weeks ago, and a great dude also. Mm. And I know I've seen Aaron Fitt was at the Friday night start when Louisville played at NC State with, you know, they had the big pitching match up there with like the 30 plus scouts. He does a great job. And I, for the record, they all do a great job. I mean, who doesn't love D1? It's phenomenal. Right. But those guys love them some SEC. I mean, Kendall and Mark Etheridge, I mean, those dudes are just SEC for life. And so that's where it comes from to me, like the national narrative, because those guys are the standard for college baseball, right? And they've earned that for sure. So, but when they're the ones that are just every single week, there's eight SEC teams in the top 10. Well, that's where it comes from, because those guys are the ones make – that poll is made up of like four or five dudes voting. I mean, that's what it is. It's insane, but that's what it is. And that's the standard. And so, you know, if that's what you want to go by, well, then how right were they? I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say, because does the whole season boil down to two games and that make everything else not really worth it? It's hard for me to say that, I think. And so I think it was a tough weekend for them. Some of them played not their best. Look, UK is not going to make it out of a regional. I don't care what regional they were in or whatever. Let's be, you know, let's call what it is. They played good ball. Mm-hmm. UK played good baseball this week. They beat a really good Clemson team that, you know, and so that's not a team that's going to make it out of regional. So I have a hard time thinking or saying like, oh, UK lost twice and they're eliminated, like the SEC, you know, that's some kind of, you know, knock against them. But there definitely were some teams in there that, you know, we played one, you know, Texas as well, you know, that are definitely going to look at it. And those teams underachieved on the weekend.
Yep.
Does that mean that the whole season was a wash? I mean, I'd hate to say 56 games don't matter, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're sitting at home, right? And Coach Mack said it just the other night when it was over, when he was congratulating Vanderbilt. Hey, man, we've been there. I mean, we've been there. We've done that. We've been there in a regional. We've been there in a super. Like, this stuff, it happens. That's college baseball. Like, sometimes somebody gets hot, and sometimes your bat's cool, and that's the way it goes. Look, there's still the standard of college baseball, I guess. But the thing that's always bothered me, I know I'm talking probably too long here, but the thing that's always bothered me is the perceived gap between the SEC and the ACC. Yeah. Because that, to me, is the ridiculous part about it. Yeah, the SEC is great. Of course, no one denies. Look, and if you want to say it means more, and I know people like to get on them and stuff. Listen, it does mean more. Mm-hmm. Look at their stadiums. Mm-hmm. Look at the money they invest. That's not a question. I mean, there's jokes about it and all that kind of stuff and whatever, but like, they invest, so they get to have that moniker. But like, there's great baseball played in the ACC too. Great baseball, and we even have some great teams that are not continuing on. I mean, Clemson's out. I mean, that's a really, really good baseball team.
Yep.
Who, you know, could they have gone into LSU and given them trouble? Maybe, probably. Mm-hmm. The ball flies out of there, and we know Clemson can hammer it. So, you know, there's just, to me, that's just kind of what it always was to me, is just like, why do people think there's this gulf between ACC and SEC baseball? Because, look, they've won the national titles recently, so we know they're great, obviously. But, man, we played good ball in the ACC, too, and like, just like to see it get a little more love and be thought of just a little bit higher than kind of what it is on the national, you know, landscape.
I think that's the biggest thing to me, is just the respect factor. You know, I think people just kind of act like it's the SEC and then everyone else. But it's the SEC. ACC may be a tick below that most years. And that's okay. I think as an ACC fan, I think we're okay with admitting that. That obviously, like you said, they've won the national championship the past five seasons. There's no disputing that. But the ACC plays some damn good baseball too, and we saw that on full display this weekend. I do want to say something. I combined the records when I was mentioning that. The SEC was 27-20 this year, or this past weekend. So the SEC went 27-20. The ACC went 22-10. So I combined the two records. So just want to clear. When I said that, I was like, that's not right. But yeah, I mean, as far as the ACC goes, it's a heck of a weekend. I mean, I don't think you could have, you know, ask for any more going into it. We've already got one guaranteed team in Omaha, right? Which you love that. But at the same time, I kind of wish we were somewhere else to give, you know, in a different, you know, bracket so we could both have an opportunity to get there. But that's kind of just how the cookies fall sometimes. So that's how it is. But good weekend for the conference. And I like Coach Mack has said numerous times, time and time again, you know, we had four in Omaha last year. You have to play good baseball to get through this conference. So just kind of happy to see how that landed this weekend to show that the pendulum can swing back and forth. And there is good baseball played in the ACC.
And we could end up in Omaha. I mean, if we're to advance to Omaha, we could end up in the same bracket with North Carolina and Florida State. We could all be in the same, which is crazy, and those are obviously really good teams, but again, it's looking ahead, but I mean, won four out of six games against those two teams. At the very least, you wouldn't head there thinking you were overmatched. I mean, you know, if you did end up with an opening matchup against Jamie Arnold, you know, again, I'm looking way ahead, but I mean, that's not something that you would write down that you wanted to happen. But I mean, you know, you want to give me a Patrick Forbes, Jamie Arnold matchup on a Friday night in Omaha? Oh, man. Who wouldn't watch that?
That would sell seats. I mean, that would be just a 2 first-round draft picks. You know, or Patrick, you know, depending on where Patrick falls, potentially 2 first-round draft picks, 1 top-5 draft pick throwing in one of the opening games in Omaha to start the College World Series. Yeah, sign me up for that. And I think every fan across the country would love to see it. So let's look at how we got here. We obviously talked heading into the championship game over the weekend when we did our live. So let's talk about the Wright State game a little bit. And I think we have to start with where we've started recently and the games that Ethan Eberle has thrown, and that's just with the performance that he put up again on the mound. And I don't, at this point in time, I don't even know what to say different than we say every other week, because it's the same thing. It's just ho-hum Ethan Eberle up there, just as a freshman, threw 6 1/3 again. He only gave up 2 hits in a regional final. He struck out 11. I mean, just I don't know what else to say. The guy, he just had his stuff the other night. Wright State, who is a good baseball team. You know, they're a 4 seed, but you know that's a very, very high quality team. I mean, they beat Vanderbilt. They obviously have dudes up and down that roster, and they just looked silly most of the night against Eberle. They really didn't make any solid contact. Just could not get any type of momentum going whatsoever. And then Wyatt Danielewicz came in and threw the final 2 2/3 of hitless baseball. He struck out 4 more just on the mound. I mean, that's where obviously the show started and ended. We didn't really have to score many when you don't give up any. So, but you know, Eddie King Jr., who was hot all weekend, he won MVP of the regional. He had a double in the first inning to kind of set the tone, get us 2 runs on the board. And you know, Louisville had a chance to score a ton of runs that game, right? We left a lot out on the field. Some base running mistakes, runners thrown out, runners picked off. There was a lot more runs out there. Fortunately, obviously the pitching it did matter, but just a high quality game defensively and on the mound. Lucas Moore, Matt Klein, Monroe, and Alisea, they all chipped in with 2 hits. I believe Alisea had 3, if I'm not mistaken. I think we had, I don't have it pulled up, but I think we had 12 hits as a team. So, I mean, there's plenty of offense going on, but just a couple mistakes on the base pass. But we've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Louisville baseball, you're going to have that, right? There's some give and take. Coach McDonald, the way he approaches the game offensively and on the base path, they're very aggressive. Like at some point in time, somebody's going to make a throw and throw us out. It's just part of it. As a fan, do you hate it? As a coach, do you hate it? Sure. As the player, they hate it too, but they're going to take those chances. Sometimes more risky than others, and sometimes not quite as risky. You know, you'd like them to take more chances, but that's just part of it being a fan of this baseball program. They just take chances. They're aggressive. And to me, it's fun. You know, I love watching that. I would rather us do that than to be a station-to-station program, because you're just waiting, you know, one hit at a time. And we put pressure on the opposition, make them make plays. So that's just part of it. But nonetheless, went down there, took care of business, and just super, super exciting to get that W and head back with a super regional berth under our belt and get back on the right track. So you were there, obviously, and got to take it all in. Obviously, in front of a bunch of Louisville fans, it was probably dominated by Louisville fans, because Wright State probably didn't travel too terribly well. Vandy was gone, so maybe some of their fans hung around they bought tickets just to watch baseball. But how was it being down there in Nashville watching the Cards take the regional championship?
Yeah, I will say I was a little bit surprised. There was, you know, Wright State, they did all right, I thought, bringing really some fans in there. There was a little bit of green and black in there over on the side that, you know, they're allotted, you know, tickets with their family and stuff like that, and I'm sure that's what made up most of it. But I'm sure Louisville fans pounced on that secondary market. Tickets were just plummeting. The prices were plummeting as that. It was funny. I had my buddy Nathan that sits next to me in our, you know, up in 203. He was literally during the Wright State Vandy game watching the prices just keep falling. he said, he's like, hey, I'm getting in the car, like, you know, update me on whatever's going on. Like, if they, you know, I'll pull over and buy my ticket. And so he bought his, I think he bought his ticket when he was somewhere around, he drove over from Somerset. And so he bought his ticket when he was somewhere on Bowling Green, I think. So he came down for the game. So I think that fans were doing that, kind of hitting that secondary market, right? And so it was fun to have a lot of Louisville people in there. As far as I'll touch on the base path thing, the base running thing first. You know, 100% agree with what you said. I mean, there was a hit and run in there that wasn't executed super great. Yeah, there's a pickoff. There's some things. And those things obviously are frustrating. And believe me, you know, Coach Mack is more frustrated than anybody by those things. I mean, it's not like they're out there trying to make those things happen. But you're 100% right. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes when you roll the dice, I mean, it comes up snake eyes every once in a while. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's the way it goes. Typically, the guys that are aggressive on the base pass are the guys you want to be aggressive. You saw, yeah, I think Lucas had another one. You know, but we'll get those guys going out there. You get Lucas going, you get Alistair going, you get Rose going. I mean, those are your main guys that you really want out there running. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. You know, you would see a little bit more from Pike every once in a while when he was fully healthy. But, I mean, those are the main guys that you want. And like I said, I mean, sometimes when you put the hit and run on, it doesn't work out. That's baseball. I'm not going to be – you got to take the good with the bad when you're going to play that style of baseball. And so, you know, look, when they start to compound on you and they're really punishing you, that's when it kind of gets a little out of hand. That does happen sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think – I mean, outside the one pickoff at third base, I didn't think anything was too crazy out there. And, you know, we're trying to, like you said, trying to be aggressive. That's Coach Mack baseball. Hmm. I mean, and so you see all the steals. You see, I mean, Lucas has almost got 50 steals now. So, I mean, that happens. I mean, you're not going to be, unless you are Lucas, basically, and, you know, you're not going to be safe every time. So I didn't think any of that stuff, like I said, the pickoff was a little puzzling. But other than that, everything was, you know, I mean, sometimes they make a play too. I mean, they're trying to get you out. As far as Eberle goes, what can you say? The kid's a star. I mean, he's an absolute star, and it's he's the best kid. I could never talk enough about him, but I also at the same time can hardly find the right words to talk about him. Because he's so good, the off-speed stuff, he was landed for strikes, and he just completely controlled the game with that slider. I mean, he just pounded the strike zone over and over and over. And then being able to come back and mix speeds, forget it. He dominated that game from start to finish. You give up two hits. One is a bunt single down third baseline from dirtbag Will Cook. No, I'm just kidding. I really like Will Cook. He's a good dude. No, but I just was like, come on, Will, really? And the kid's throwing a perfect game with through two and two. But, you know, because you start to get through that and you see how he's dominating. I don't know. My mind starts to race a little bit, right? I get way ahead of myself and start dreaming. But, no, Will, look, we put the shift on. Will put the bun down. I mean, that's probably the best bun he ever put down in his life. I'm not even going to lie. It was perfect.
It was
absolutely perfect. And so, and I don't mean that as a knock against Will. I'm just saying, like, he couldn't have done it better. It was absolutely perfect. And so he gets on base, but he only gives up one other hit other than that. And so just completely dominant. And, you know, the funny part about the game to me was you felt like the game was out of hand most, if not all of the game. But then you look up in the seventh inning, and he gets the first out, and then he walks back-to-back guys, and there's two on and one out, and it's only a 4-0 game. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, man, like, this, you know, this could get a little dicey here if we don't, you know, kind of fix this right here. And so, obviously, Dan goes back to Wyatt, and I mean, look, that play Wyatt made getting off the mound also like in the, was just ridiculous. Like fielding his position, setting his feet, like just composed, right? Like he just, you know, what pitchers are athletes too. And he gets back there, grabs it, just steadied himself and fired a, you know, fired one over there. So Wyatt was phenomenal. I'm just, again, so happy for him and just the way he's been through a lot. And you know, I've been an injured college athlete, but not to where I had to miss a full year. And the mental part of it is probably the hardest. And so for him to be able to overcome those things mentally, you know, where you want to get back, so you want to push it, but you're hurt, and then could you re-injure? And, like, just so happy for him. The kid's been virtually nails the entire year. And so just another piece to the puzzle. The guys were outstanding. You mentioned Monroe as well with the hits. I was really happy for him. He had a bit of a tough night, obviously, in the field on Saturday. And I just like watching that bounce back of it didn't get to him. He went right back out. Look, he knows that's the good part about it, right? He can play through mistakes, and I like that. I like that you're able to just play. You know, sometimes like in a basketball game or something like that, you turn the ball over a couple times, coach yanks you out. I understand why you do that, but like that hurts kids' confidence. It makes, you know, sometimes you got to learn to play through things. And so I love that about Jake, man, just able to bounce right back. Obviously had the one was a triple, right? In the left field corner, triple, we'll say, kind of just a tough play out there. But, you know, and Alisea was swinging a hot stick. Nice to see him back, just really swinging it. Yeah, I think you were right. I think he did have, at least off the top of my head, I think he had three hits.
Yeah, I think so.
So just, it wasn't a perfect weekend, but that game I felt like was really the way the whole weekend went. It wasn't perfect, but the parts all together were good. And that was the thing. They, every single game, for starters, every single game they pitched well, obviously. The pitching was the star of the weekend, for sure. So I think there are a lot of you fans out there that owe a lot of apologies to number one, Roger Williams. Well, probably number one, Dan McDonald. Number two, Roger Williams. And number three, the kids who... A lot of you morons out there are just like bash on a weekly basis. Again, just tiny soapbox, get a life. But off the soapbox, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You either like it or you don't like it. So, I mean, you're going to be on or you're off. You're off the bandwagon, you're back on. What are you doing? But, I mean, you better be giving props to these dudes because they were great. And they were... You know, it's so fun to watch them play to their potential. And that was what was fun. And that, and when you do that, it doesn't have to be perfect. The defense doesn't have to be perfect. You know, the pitching overcame some defensive miscues the night before. And then this night, you know, everything was working, obviously. So, and then you're able to overcome, you know, like we talked about, maybe a little hit and run, you know, mix up, maybe a little base run mistake. You know, we're able to overcome those things because the other things are working. So, man, what a fun night. I couldn't be happier for those kids and their families. And just, you know, we'll get in the post game here in a minute, but I've talked too long, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I know. And you touched on a lot of good things. And going back to Jake, you know, you talked about, you know, the night before against Vandy, obviously, you know, he had a couple miscues there. And I think he came up first to bat the inning after he made one of the errors and hit a leadoff double in the left center gap. And it's just like, you know, those are the baseball gods, right? Like, you know, you give it and you take it the way. And it's just good to see Jake. As soon as he came up to the box, I was like, put one out of here. Like, put one over that little green monster out there. And you know, just to kind of get over that hump. Like, yeah, you made a couple bad plays and maybe a decision here that you wish you had back. But he stepped right back in the box and answered. So I think that's a good thing about not just Jake, but that one example, but the rest of the team is that way. You know, that's just kind of how they've been this year. That's just been their mantra and who they are. But like you said, the star of the weekend, it was the pitching staff. From the first pitch they threw on Friday to the last pitch they threw against Wright State, 27 innings from the pitching staff as a whole. They gave up 10 hits, 4 earned runs, struck out 43 batters in 27 innings, and only 9 walks. It's just I don't think I could have dreamt that those would have been the numbers that we would have seen. And got to play the three teams that we played. You know, you obviously got to play all three teams. Vandy, the number one overall seed in the entire country. East Tennessee State, who we talked about, a very, very potent offense. And then Wright State, who had also beat the number one team in the country in Vandy. Roger Williams, like you said, he should get a lot of Christmas cards this year. Every button that he pushed this weekend, every mound visit, everything he said to his pitching staff, whatever it was the right thing to say every time. It didn't matter who we put out there. I think we threw 7 guys, and that's all we needed because those guys were dominant every time they stepped on the rubber. So that was exciting to see just that not only the whole team, but the pitching staff in general, specifically because just kind of like you said, the negativity that came their way this at points this season, for them to step up, you know, when the lights were on, as bright as they could possibly be, you know, against the number one team in the country at their place, and they respond this way was just massive. So I don't want to talk. I'll let you talk about the post game because you were there and got to spend some time with Coach Mack and the players. Before we do that, I do want to mention. I said that Eddie King Jr. was the regional MVP. Also, Alex Alisea, Ethan Eberle, and Lucas Moore were named to the all tournament team as well. So I just want to mention them because obviously they played extremely well in all facets of the game down there in Nashville. So I want to touch on them and give them the props that they deserve. So you were there and got to listen to Coach Mack. And before you talk about that, I want to say we as fans, and I tweeted this out earlier today, need to be extremely thankful that Dan McDonald's our head coach based on the way he acted this weekend. And not that he didn't have to do anything, over the top. It's just I don't know how you want to put this, the sportsmanship that you saw from some of these coaches across the country and the apologies that had to come out after the weekend ended because some of the things that other coaches said or the way they treated other people, we don't have to worry about that at Louisville. You want to win games and you want to participate in Super Regionals and College World Series. Sure, that's where we want to be. But I think we should all feel very, very good about Dan McDonald leading this program because you're not going to see him issuing an apology because he's not going to put himself in a situation where he does something where he has to. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's all over the place. You can find it. I just want to mention that before you get into talking about his press conference because I thought it was classic Dan, right? And a lot of people don't get to see that because not many people follow in depth enough all year long to see his press conferences. I think you saw top tier Dan in that press conference because you could tell just getting back to where he wants his team to be and getting back to the expectation where he expects his program to be, it was just special to him, you could tell. So kind of talk us through what that was like being in the room with him.
Yeah, exactly like you're saying, I mean, whether it's Kevin O'Sullivan acting like a complete fool, and also just for the record, I mean, anyone who kind of follows college baseball pretty closely is probably not in any way, shape, or form surprised by him acting like that because that's just, I mean,
that's him.
I mean, this time you just happen to be on camera. That's really what, I mean, you know, you just, that's really kind of how that goes. And so, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, Walter's at Wake. I mean, just using language is just not, it's just not okay. And I mean, period. I mean, so, you know, I always think apologies are funny in terms of like when someone comes out and says, well, that's, you know, well, that's not who I am. Yes, it is. You just did that. I mean, like,
you just got caught.
There was, that wasn't a hologram or no one superimposed you or whatever it was. Like, you just did that. Now, if that's not who I want to be, or that's a different thing, but like, that's not who I am. Yes, it is. You just did that. So, I mean, that kind of statement always is funny to me. And look, they had to make apologies, and I'm sure those guys are going to be, hopefully they're going to be fined or whatever it is. And I don't know if you get suspended for a game or two, that probably doesn't matter, but really, really embarrassing, you know, just portrayals of not only themselves, but their programs and their universities. And like you said, you know, one of the main things, when I've said this on here before, I didn't grow up here. And so I'm not this lifelong Louisville fan or anything like that. When I came here, I started going to baseball. It was free, and my wife was working her way through grad school. I needed things to do. And I love sports, and so I started going. And the first thing that really made me fall in love with this baseball program was I really enjoyed the way that Dan carries himself. I enjoyed the way that he seems to just pour into and love on his players. And that was what really drew me to the program was, all right, there's a dude in charge here who is preparing these guys for more than baseball. And as someone who grew up playing sports, obviously, and played in college and things like that, I mean, my favorite, I mean, I ran track in college, but my favorite coach in high school was one who was my basketball coach. I loved basketball more than anything. I just wasn't as good at it as I was running in an oval. But he cared more about us as individuals than he did about us playing basketball. We were very good at basketball, very, very good. And that meant a lot to me, just knowing that. And as I journeyed forward into coaching track, that was something I tried to make sure the kids understood was, hey, this is fun out here, and I want to be good, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to be great. But there's more to life than what happens out here. And that's my favorite thing about Dan, is he's super competitive. Don't ever, I mean, look, I've seen Dan. I've talked to Dan after every game for 3 years. We have a good rapport. Dan was extremely gracious with me after his press conference. He came over and shook my hand, gave me a hug, and told me, thank you for the work you do for this program, for these kids. And I know you've spent a lot of hours out here, you know, been with us all year. I mean, I told myself, cool, I love every second of it. I mean, it's amazing. You don't have to say thank you to me, but I mean, but that's who he is. And so when he's up at the podium and he's, you know, with tears in his eyes, I mean, he's talking about his wife, Julie, pulling him out of the depths and out of a funk that he's been in for the last couple years. And, you know, if you had the privilege of going to the leadoff banquet to start the year, he talked about it then as well. And it was great to see him touch on it again on a national stage like that. And just talk about, you know, show what his values are. And listen, just because he might get fired up and a cuss word might come out of his mouth or things like that, like, that doesn't mean that you're not, that these aren't what your values are. Like, Dan's just as competitive, just as fiery as anybody else. Okay, let me guarantee you, I've seen some post games that are wild, right? Like when he's talking to some players and he's just as frustrated as anybody else. But he loves these kids, man. And they have helped really pull him out of and get him over what the last 2 years have been like. And you could see the emotional toll. I mean, it was like you could see him releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like you could visually see it just like coming with, you know, some tears that were in his eyes, some things like that. Like he could like finally exhale. I was just so happy for him because he's such a good guy. And Dan's obviously a great baseball coach. Everybody knows that. I mean, like, we've seen it. Him doing what he's done with this Louisville program. I don't care if he wins another game the rest of the time. Dan's a legend in Louisville forever. I mean, whenever it's said and done, there's going to be a 3 emblem on that wall somewhere. I mean, no one's ever going to wear a 3 there again, ever. But life is about more than baseball. And Dan gets that. And he preaches that to those kids. And that's when you talk about the, you know, you've heard it said over and over throughout this season, the love these kids have for each other, the camaraderie, the tightness, the closeness of this group. And Dan's very, very quick to deflect and say, it's kids, it's them. They have to want it. They have to. And that's all fine. And that's true. That's 100% true. But at the same time, those kids take their cues from the top. And it's Coach Mack. It's Coach Williams. Listen, man, anyone who's been here through this program and pitched, some of the guys, if you follow around, some guys on Twitter, some social media things, you will never, ever see anyone who's ever been here with anything but the utmost praise for Coach Roger Williams.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your back stock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.
I mean, these dudes love that guy. And it's, again, obviously, clearly, he's one of the best pitching coaches in all of college baseball over the last 2 decades and more. I mean, he's as good as there is in the country. But it's my favorite part about this baseball program is that from the top down, they get that it's about more than baseball. And the way the life skills and the attitudes and the way that they are teaching these kids about what life after baseball looks like, or what life after Louisville looks like, or how to treat people, or all the, you know, those are the things that I love the most. And so, you know, again, the utmost respect for Dan. He's been, and his whole staff, they've been beyond gracious to me the last 3 years. They've been the best. And so you're never going to hear me say a bad word. You've never heard me say a bad word about anyone in that program, and you never will, because I know what kind of men those guys are. I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about men. And to me, that's what life is about, and that's what this whole thing was about. And, like, I was excited for others to see, like I said, on that national stage, kind of what I get to see kind of behind the scenes, you know, on more of a day-to-day basis.
I think one of the coolest things that I took away from all of it, and I don't know, I watched you know, how many different things I saw of Dan, the, you know, the press conference after the games, or the, you know, the on the field stuff that he did. I don't remember which this was in, but he told the story that he went up to Assad before the game was over. And, you know, one of the big things that he's preached lately is family, and, you know, the kids wouldn't be here without their families, and, you know, the sacrifices that the families make, and, you know, just talking about what their, you know, the kids' parents do and for them. And he goes up to Saab before the game's over, and he's like, and I normally don't do this, he said, you know, because we're still playing a baseball game. But he said, I told Assad, you know, when we're out there celebrating on the field, when we win this thing, he was like, I want you to get some shots of the parents, you know, because that's what it's all about. He's like, and, you know, the past couple of years, the players have been through it, the coaches have been through it, but he talked about the stress that the families go through too, right? Like, they don't want to see their kids go out there and not make the postseason, or, you know, not see the success that maybe some of the prior Louisville teams were able to participate in. So I thought that was really cool. I haven't seen anything yet that they put out, and I don't know if they will. Maybe they're going to keep that internal. But I think it'd be really cool to see kind of, you know, the emotions that the parents are going through in that type of moment when they're just so excited for their kids as they're out on the field kind of dogpiling too. So I thought that was really cool, and just kind of goes to show how much Dan – you know, looks at them as people and not just as his baseball team.
Yeah, you know, he mentioned that was in the, I mean, he may have said it all in the field as well, but yeah, he was talking about that in the press conference. He brought his, I mean, he had, I don't know, 8 to 10 family members probably in the press room with us. And, you know, his wife, he credited Julie multiple times throughout the press conference. You know, when you're talking about the parents, I mean, that's basically the basis for what I'm typically harping on here. When I'm talking to, you know, people about, think about what you say online and their kid, I mean, their parents see these things that you guys say. Like, can you imagine, like, your kid is 18 years old, 19 years old, and they have a tough, whatever it may be, you know, what if they have a tough test in school, but it just happens to be in front of the entire country, and so you hop online and start talking about it's so such nonsense. And so these, you know, at baseball, I sit with a lot of parents. I mean, I'm around the parents a lot, obviously, going to all these games. The stress they go through when their kids are on the mound, I mean, these parents are having, you know, practically nervous breakdowns on there. You know, think, you know, the hard year that the Matt Klein's parents went through, as he's a local kid and his dad played there and he's wanted to be at Louisville his whole, you know, his mom was a cheerleader at Louisville back in the day. And they, you know, the kids want, it's a Louisville family. I mean, they've had football and basketball. See, I mean, like, they're Louisville. That's what they do. And the kids had hard luck with injuries, and he gets injured again in his draft year, and you think it's done, right? And there's, you know, a lot of tears throughout the season because it's just, oh, we don't get to see another at-bat at Jim Patterson. We don't get to see everybody clap, you know, when he does the stroke. And so that's why we made sure that they played his song when they called him out for graduation day, because just let's do it again. And so we tried to make sure that we got it to the right person up there. Let's make sure we get in. So I made sure I got that message to Dylan Hoy, and he got up. And so, like, you know, let's do some of these things. Dylan, come through. That's my guy. So that kid gets to have at bats. He gets to play at home again in front of his family and his friends and stuff. Like, that was almost the very first thing I thought of when they clinched that win, was Matt gets to be at home, have more home at bats in front of his family. Like, because they were crushed about that. And so, like, and there's so many other families in there, like, that have similar stories of kids going through hard times. I mean, you think of Garrett Pike going down, you know, and you know, when he initially goes down, I mean, look, that didn't look good. Let's not lie about it. And I don't even know how he's playing, to be completely honest. And so, I mean, because I know in a little more detail about what he's going through. And so, like, the fact that kid's playing baseball is amazing. His family still gets to come watch him. That kid comes. He's never been. Toledo has never been to the NCAA baseball tournament ever. They made the final of the MAC tournament this past week. But, like, he comes here for this right here. I mean, he had so many people. I think he had, like, 8 to 10 family members, and he only get 4 tickets. His dad was, I don't know if he scouted or what he was doing, but his dad stood out in the outfield, like, in, like, the top row out there, like, for the Vanderbilt game because he wanted to let other people have their, you know, like, some other family that had driven up, you know, extended family to be able to have the ticket. I mean, like, there's just – those stories are just – they're all over the place, up and down that roster. And so I, you know, just highlight a couple, but it's genuine from Dan. That's the thing that I liked about it. A lot of people say things, but it's genuine from Dan. And I just – there could never be a better leader for this program.
Yeah. No, I think spot on. You know, when you talk about ambassadors for your program – There's nobody better than Dan McDonald and what he's been able to do, not only obviously between the lines, he's won a lot of baseball games, right? That's what he's paid to do. But what he isn't paid to do are the extra things that that impact these kids for the rest of their life. So it's just good to see, you know, Dan, and not just Dan, the rest of the coaching staff too. That's how they are. So, you know, when you lay your head down on a pillow at night as a Louisville fan, just know that the people that you're supporting are good people and they're doing the right thing. And that's not happening everywhere. So let's jump and talk about the Super Regional, because we could talk about those things all night long, right? But we've got a Super Regional this weekend ahead of us against Miami, a team in the ACC that we didn't get to see this year. So I think that's exciting, first off. But let's talk about some of the logistics first before we talk about the team itself. So schedule-wise, 3 p.m. on Friday, 11 a.m. on Saturday for some reason, and then Sunday, there's no time slot. That's an if-needed game. If we split the first two, then that will be determined at a later date. Ticket-wise, if you got them while they were hot and good, if you didn't, you're going to be paying a little bit more for them. I looked shortly before I got on the podcast, and I think the cheapest chair back I could find was $199. Berm, I think and this was single tickets. Berm was in the 60s, I think 61. It was low 60, 61, 62. So hopefully those tickets will come down for people that want to go that didn't have a chance to grab them. But, I mean, when the cards are hot, the cards are hot. And that's kind of where we are. And it's the hottest ticket in town right now. So everything was sold out. Berm, the whole shebang. So hopefully we can get a massive crowd in there. If we can get around the 5,500 range, that will put us in top 10 in attendance ever at Jim Patterson Stadium. So we'll seek out. There's going to be some tickets, I'm sure, trickle in at some point in time, or, you know, donors or sponsors, or, you know, there's going to be some tickets coming in. But record is 6,237, which was against Kentucky in the 2017 Super Regional. So hopefully we can contest with some of those numbers. You know, I think right now Louisville baseball, from a fan perspective, is as high as it's been. And gosh, Bryson's 19. You know, 22, we made the Super Regional, but it was on the road. We didn't have the opportunity to play here. So I think this is, I mean, in, you know, 6 years, probably this is the highest the fan engagement has been. So people want to get to the ballpark. So it's going to be a rowdy place, and I hope you're there. Terry, I know you got tickets. I was able to snag a few. It took some crafting around the website and refreshing and reloading, but eventually about 20 minutes after they released, 20 or 30 minutes after they released, a couple tickets popped up and I was lucky enough to snag them. So hopefully everybody that won them got them, and if not, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. So let's talk about Miami and jump into what the Cards are up against. So the Hurricanes are 34-25. They were 15-14 this year in the ACC. They had a game canceled, I believe it was against NC State. So that's why they were 15-14. They didn't play the 30th game. They were a 3 seed in Hattiesburg. I went down there and they beat Alabama 5-3, who was the 2 seed. They beat Columbia 14-1, which put them in the championship bracket against the host of Southern Miss. Southern Miss came out with a vengeance. The first game beat them 17-6, and then Miami won Game 7, which was the if-necessary game late, I guess early Tuesday morning when it finally finished. It was after midnight here Eastern time. They won that game 5-4. So one thing, talk about Chris Dominguez is down there on staff now. Obviously, Cards fans are familiar with him. He was here, went to the College World Series back in 07. He was the head coach at Bellarmine for what, a year, 2 year, 1 year?
Like 2 years.
Was it 2 years? And just before the season this year, left Bellarmine staff as the head coach to go down to be an assistant at Miami. So Dan talked about that a little bit today, but kind of cool to see, you know, him come back. Love Chris Dominguez. If there's ever a chance that, you know, his path and Louisville's paths cross again down the road, love to have him back in the red and black, but this weekend, I hope he goes 0-2. So, but it's always fun to see the former Cardinals guy, you know, as they get into baseball or coaching, whatever route they take. So let's talk about Miami kind of in detail, what we're going to see from the team. Pitching wise, their starting pitching has been pretty solid as of late. AJ Siskar is, I would imagine, going to be their Friday night starter. He's 6-1 with a 3.78 ERA. He's probably who we're going to see on Friday, just if they go off the kind of the same rotation they've been using lately. Griffin Hugues, 6-7 with a 3.90 ERA. You know, that's one of those win-loss records that you scratch your head at as a pitcher. But he threw a complete game against Columbia in the regionals. That's obviously something we can't have happen. We got to get to the bullpen. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And then my guess would be if we get to Sunday, Reese Lumpkin would probably be the guy. He started the regional final against Southern Miss. So my guess is that's who we would see. Brian Walters, a name that you may kind of be familiar with if you remember Andrew Walters, who was the closer for Miami a couple years ago. He was just nasty. We saw Brian last year too, but we've been familiar with the whole family because they've both been down there. Seems like they've had a Walters and their staff for a long time. He's been their closer towards the end of the season, started the year as a starter in the rotation, and has since moved to the bullpen, which is that's kind of where it seems like he needs to be. His numbers have significantly improved since he went back to the bullpen. Outside of him, not a ton of bullpen depth. That's kind of their weakness. That's where we got to get to. If we can chase the couple guys off the mound and not let them get to Walters, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. Because they just don't have the middle pieces to get to him. Team ERA over 5, and going up against an offense like Louisville that scores a ton of runs, that's not a good recipe for them. Obviously, they're playing really good baseball, though, right now. You know, we're at the point of the season that we can talk about these numbers all day long. You can look at this and try to break it down and whatnot. All this stuff goes out the window. We talked about it before last weekend going down to Nashville. Everybody's 0-0. Same thing going into Miami this weekend. Everybody's 0-0. That's just where we are. So we'll talk about their offense here in a minute. But, Terry, what are your kind of initial thoughts? What they look like on the mound?
Yeah, you know, they seem to kind of, about halfway through the season, just kind of things seemed like they kind of clicked for them a little bit, and they kind of went on a run. Not quite as hot maybe as like what Notre Dame got there for a while, but very similar just in terms of like it wasn't a real great start to the year, and a lot of that did have to do with some pitching, but they, like you mentioned, they really seem to find their form the last month or two. And, you know, they did scuffle a little bit, kind of like we did the last, you know, what, couple, 2-3 weeks of the season. I don't think they didn't play. They lost their first game of the.
They lost to Cal. Yeah, I think they got run ruled to Cal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Cal smoked them. And then Cal won again. So, you know, there was. I think they probably were pretty nervous on Selection Monday. You know, there were several ACC teams kind of right in that cut line mix, right, with Miami, probably Virginia, Notre Dame. You know, they're kind of right in that mix. But that month and a half or so that they really got hot, you know, was kind of spurred on by some better pitching. And, you know, like you said, I mean, I don't put as much stock in the Columbia game. Columbia's, you know, going with their number two guy, and so they're going to be in trouble, right? A great win, obviously, first, you know, upset win there with Southern Miss. But that win by Columbia over Southern Miss is what put Miami in the driver's seat right here. And they knew it. I mean, they got out of the gates great, right, and beat Alabama. It's a great win because that Alabama team was very good, had a very good year. And Miami pitched very well that day as well. They're, you know, got a little hairy there at the end, but they were able to hang on. I think was the last out caught right at the wall, I think, with some dudes on base. So, you know, it was kind of one of those things where it was like, you know how Coach Mack has talked a lot about, you know, being a total of like 10 feet from having beaten Texas A&M twice. That was what almost the very first thing I thought of when that Miami center fielder caught that ball at the wall. I was like, whoo, Alabama was 3 to 5 feet from a W right there. But, you know, they were, I give them a lot of credit. It's a first year head coach, correct?
Who's that?
At Miami.
Isn't Ortega, this is second year, isn't it?
Oh, second year. All right.
I think it's second year.
So, you know, they really jumped. They really, just in terms of, you know, they've found some pieces. Got to give them a lot of credit. They really remade their roster. And so, because last year they were not very good. We went down there a year ago and we saw them in Miami. I think we took 2 of 3. I believe we took the first 2 and then we got lit up on a Sunday. But in a hot Sunday, oh, it was hot down there. But they, it's a good look. It's one of the traditional powers of college baseball. Everyone, I mean, when you think of college baseball, Miami's going to be one of the first handful of teams that comes to mind. And so as a child of the 80s, with a grandpa that loved college baseball, I mean, that's one of the first games that I remember are Wichita State and Miami games. and so, I mean, Wichita's, you know, they've fallen some hard times. But that's a team I kind of pulled for too. But I mean, I was so excited to go down there. I've got Miami, you know, I buy hats wherever we go, but I mean, I bought 4 or 5 of the different Miami hats. The guy, you know, give me that old English M is sharp, right? That's, you know, something you think of when you think of college baseball. And so look, they belong, especially the way they played in that middle portion of the season. They got some dudes that can sling, and Walter's good. I mean, like you mentioned, it's a guy who seems to have found his role, right? And they were kind of searching for something for him. And I think, obviously, a lot of guys want to be starters because that's where the money is as you get to the next level, and so you want to try to progress yourself in that way. But, you know, I'm pretty sure his brother made a nice chunk of change once he departed Miami because that dude was legit. And so, look, it's not a deep staff, that is for sure. But that doesn't mean they can't come in here and sling it for 2 to 3 games. And so, you know, we'll get into some more of the offensive stuff here in a minute. But I thought Kamayu was spot on today when, you know, it was kind of funny to me how people were like, you know, in the press conference, you know, what do you know about Miami? What do you know about Miami? You know, there was a lot of those questions and they don't know and they don't need to know yet and they'll figure it out. But the thing is, Kamayu said, it's not about that. It's about us. And you and I have talked about that all year on here, and I will keep talking about it because if this team plays good baseball and does the little thing, I mean, we're going to, for as long as I'm on this podcast, I'm going to say it probably every week. If they do the little things right, this team wins. And just period. Throw strikes and play defense. The rest takes care of itself. And you saw some guys, Wyatt talked about it today at the press conference, talking about our own pitching. Just talking about how Coach Williams was just drilling into him, right? The 17 inches of the plate. The 17 inches of the plate. Like, that's where it has to be. It's got to be right there. And They did it last week. If we're able to execute that this week, I don't care what Miami does. Because our best is better than their best. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. And so, you know, looking forward, do they have some guys? Yeah, they got some guys. Do they have guys that are better than our guys? No, they don't. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, on paper, it's favorable, especially on the pitching side too, you know, because that's what we're focusing on right now. But, you know, we got to go out and be able to win the battles. I think that's, you know, that's the important thing is that it's not played on paper. We have to step in the batter's box and be able to get the job done.
Yeah, no, and you're spot on. And I love that from Kamayu that, you know, we can control us. We can't control them. So, like you said, just take care of the things that we could do, play Louisville baseball, and the wins take care of themselves. You know, just control the things we can. It's simple. You know, don't kick the ball around. You know, throw strikes. Move the baseball. If you're asked to bunt, lay a bunt down. We talk about every week we get on here. Just if we do those little things, I don't have too many concerns against this roster. I will say this. You talk about Miami. So I lived in Miami for a year. My parents lived there for 5 years after I graduated from high school. So I kind of just adopted Miami as my second team. And then Louisville goes to the ACC, and it's like, well, shoot, like I don't want to cheer for Miami anymore, but I still kind of do. I've got some Miami hats and, you know, sweatshirts and stuff that I've just had since that time. So I've always kind of cheered for Miami, but not this weekend. But yeah, they're, you know, when you think about, you know, the days of growing up, like you think of Miami baseball. That's kind of who comes to mind. I just looked it up real quick. So Ortega, he played at Miami from 94 to 97. He's been on their staff since 2003. I didn't realize he'd been there that long. He's just been the head coach for a shorter period of time, but he's been there since 2003. So, you know, he's Miami through and through. He's one of their dudes. And he's got another really good coach beside him in Dominguez. So, but yeah, that's kind of my story with Miami. But I will not be wearing any orange and green this weekend.
You're not throwing Okay. they get really upset about that. Those Miami fans get really, yes, really upset when, yeah, you disrespect that U, man. Yeah. They get really. Yeah. So who, just real quick, I'm going to jump off topic. Who is the kid on our team that would hit the homer and throw? I don't think anyone's going to do it. I'm just saying, if we had one, is it Lucas Moore? Is really the real question. Is it Lucas Moore who would put the U upside down?
100%. Lucas Moore. Okay. And then wherever Dylan Hoy is in the dugout, he would be doing it too.
Yes.
No matter where Hoy is, he would find a way to do the U's down. But yeah, Lucas Moore, he's the one. I think that's the one that would pull that off.
Now, I don't think he's going to, because, I mean, we saw he did the tomahawk chop.
He did the, yes, yeah, yeah. See? Yeah, so
I don't think maybe it's not completely out of the question, but I think there's a much better chance that I'm doing it in the stands than Lucas Moore does it on the field.
It probably depends on the situation too, right? Like, you know, if he steps to the box and hits a leadoff home run to start the, you know, the bottom half of the first inning, on the first game, probably not in that situation. But if, you know, if it's the second half of the second game and, you know, we're looking to clinch the series, you know, maybe at that point in time, I could see him dropping a little use down. So hopefully we get to see that. I'd love it. We've talked about it before. I love that stuff. You love that stuff.
I love it.
You know, and even when teams do it to us, I don't love it, but I just love it for the game. And I think just the excitement of the players get to show and express themselves. You see it in football, you see it in basketball, but for some reason we can't do it in baseball. And that's a topic we could talk about for an hour, but I love that stuff.
That's what makes the World Baseball Classic great, because there's the excitement, there's the play for country, and I think that you're more likely to get that in college, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, no, 100%. So let's talk about their offense, and it starts with Daniel Cuvé. I mean, he's that dude. There's no two ways around it. He was first team All ACC, just a special player. He was MVP of the Hattiesburg Regional. He leads the team in average at 379. He leads them in home runs with 17, RBIs with 81, doubles with 19. Need I say more? I mean, the dude does a little bit of everything. I watched as much of the Hattiesburg Regional as I could. And, you know, defensively, a ball was hit right inside third base. He was playing off the line a little bit. I think it was a left-handed hitter, so he was playing off the line a little bit, dove and came up and just gunned the dude from deep in the hole. Defensively, he's solid. Offensively, he's one of the best we're going to see this year. He's that kind of guy that can really dominate the regional kind of by himself. Like I said, he leads them in virtually all stats. But offensively, as a team, they only hit 275. And I think last I looked, I think Louisville was at 306. So, I mean, we're talking about almost a 30-point difference, which is that's pretty massive. They strike out about seven or over 7.5 times per game. So very, very high swing and miss rates. And if you kind of couple that with what we saw this weekend in Nashville, I mean, that bodes well for us, right? I mean, if our dudes are throwing the way they threw this weekend against a roster that has a high swing and miss rate, I like that. I like our chances. That gives me that gets me really excited. Once you get past Cuvée, you've got Jake Ogden at 345 and Max Galvin at 301. That's it. Those are their three hitters over 300. They're qualified hitters. So they're very, very top heavy. Not to say again that, you know, they can't have guys that are going to step up. But typically this year they haven't shown a ton of power. They don't steal the bases a ton. You're not going to see them be as aggressive as Louisville. I think, I had it pulled up. They've stolen 64 bases this year, and Louisville was up north of 150. So they're not going to be near as aggressive as we are, and they really don't throw guys out at the rate that you would like to see them throw guys out against guys like Lucas Moore and Alisei on the base pass. So I really think if we get runners on base, we're going to be able to give their pitchers and their catchers hell. And I think you saw that this weekend in the Nashville Regional, the pitchers from ETSU and Nashville and Wright State and Vandy, when we got runners on, you could tell they kind of clinched a little bit. Their approach was completely different because we are so aggressive on the base paths, and you typically don't see teams approach the game of baseball like that. You know, VMI, yeah, they steal, 200 bases every year, but I don't know who they play. But, you know, in the Power Four, you're not going to see a team as aggressive as Louisville every weekend when you go out. So I like our chances there as well. So Terry, I know you've kind of got to look at their offense. Kind of what are your thoughts? Just kind of looking up and down their lineup. And I know you've probably gotten to watch the Hurricanes a little bit. What are your overall thoughts on them?
Yeah, so much like you, I mean, I watched, I paid very, very close attention to that regional. You know, that's the one to match up with the same way out. I mean, I'm going to try to watch, obviously, like anytime I'm not at the ballpark this weekend. I mean, you know, I'm at multiple screens going, we're going to do it up like it's going to look like an NFL Sunday in my basement. But, you know, the thing for me with them, much like we talk about, you know, maybe if it's Clemson with Cannarella or, you know, some of these other teams where there's, you know, sometimes some of these guys have a dude, right? I mean, Cuvée is that dude. You mentioned it. You ran down the numbers. Well, it's 17 homers, 81 RBI. I mean, it's astounding stuff. And you mentioned it as well. It's not just the Batman. It's that good dude. I mean, he is a dude. I mean, there are going to be over 5,000 Louisville fans there that are in for a treat just watching that dude play baseball. I mean, we've talked about a lot on here about just enjoying seeing some other dudes play. You know, I mean, obviously I would have rather that Jamie Arnold didn't shove against us earlier in the season, but hey, still pretty cool. I mean, you know, you can see, there's been so many guys that we've seen as the year goes by. Or has gone by and through the past, obviously, like several seasons too. So, He's one of those guys, and he's one of those guys that you cannot let beat you. I expect Louisville to be pretty careful with him if there's people on base. Obviously, go ahead and, I mean, look, if he wants to hit a solo jack, he wants to hit a solo jack. I mean, and he may get one. I mean, he, you know, look, because here's the thing. You know, if just like as an example, like if, you know, if he's facing Patrick on Friday, Forbes is providing all the power. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, if he finds one in the zone, he hits it out, he hits it out. But the thing is, like, you just can't let him win the series. Because I would be very, very surprised if Miami is able to hang with Louisville this weekend if he is not an absolute monster. I mean, he's their horse, and he's carried them this far. So, I mean, could he carry him another couple games? He definitely could, and you can't let him do it. And so, listen, man, if you got to put these up, you got to put those four fingers up every once in a while, you got to put the four fingers up. You don't even have to throw them anymore. You just point. So, I mean, you can just tell him just to just toss that bat back on in there and put that back in the rack and put your little sliding mitt on, because that there's no reason to let him beat you. I've seen the Hurricanes play, like you mentioned, a lot this year. I was watching some, watched a bunch today, studying up, just kind of seeing what they were about. They moved the baseball pretty well. I will give them that. They're able to kind of move the ball. They seem to execute pretty well I really like the way they execute in moving runners around. Just to handle the bat well in that way. You mentioned it's not a team that hits for a very high average. But again, you know, as you see with those 81 RBIs, I mean, they get you on base. They'll find a way to get you in. And so, you know, it's not going to be a big stolen base team. We're going to – that's – you know, you mentioned it. We talked about it last week. Just in terms of how much ETSU and Vandy struggled and really changed the game we were able to get, you know, especially once we got – so ETSU pitched really well like that first time through the lineup.
Yeah.
The second time, once we were able to start to get guys on base and there was traffic, it was – they had a lot of problems. And Vandy seemed to be the same. They really – they just – it throws – you know, all those throws over. And there were so many pick I'll say pickoff attempts, but I mean, it's just trying to keep a guy close.
Yeah.
And Miami's going to have to, they're going to have to do the same thing. They give up a lot of steals. It's going to be a high steal weekend. I mean, if we're able to get guys on base, you know, we're going to be hustling them. There could be some, Lucas Moore gets on base. I mean, he's probably got the green light to go to the next two, I would think, this weekend. I mean, it could be that kind of weekend on the base paths, just in terms of they don't seem like they control the running game great. And so, I hate saying I love the matchup because I don't want to get ahead of myself. But on paper, I love the matchup. You've got to, in terms of when we're in the box, let's have good at-bats. Let's work counts. Thought we did a pretty good job of that last weekend. Let's work counts. Let's get, because you mentioned, and as we talked about, let's get into that bullpen. So let's drive pitch counts up. Let's fight. Let's get some 8, some 9, some 10 pitch at bats. Let's spoil some nonsense pitches. Let's just get those counts up and work into that bullpen, because this game had this weekend series has sets up really well for us to execute well in innings like 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And so if we're able to do that in the batter's box and we're able to make sure that Cuvée doesn't basically beat us single-handedly, I think it's going to be a good weekend at JPS.
Yeah, we chatted a little bit before we got on here, and I echo the same thing. I really, you know, just kind of looking through this team. I haven't watched Miami a ton this year, but I have watched them, especially since we didn't play them. It wasn't a team that I really had on my radar. But I love the matchup. I do. Like you said, Cuvée, you just watch for him. One other guy on the roster I want to talk about is Michael Torres. Offensively, he's not a dude that's going to beat you. I think he's hitting just over 200 as a freshman. But as a center fielder, Ortega was talking recently about how he's like an MLB outfielder right now, which is pretty high praise for a freshman like that. So, you talk about, Lucas and like a no fly zone that we've got in center field. That's the kind of guy we're talking about out there. So I haven't got to see him in person. So I'm excited to, watch, him defensively. I love an elite defender like that. So excited to see him. But I think the boys are going to be ready. I think they're 100% locked in. I think this weekend they're playing with a ton of confidence. They're at home. There's going to be at least 5,000 fans at their home ballpark, the most that any of them have ever seen since they played in college, that fans that are cheering for them. Sure, we've gone on the road and probably seen that many, but Jim Patterson Stadium has not been that as full as it's going to be this weekend since any of these guys have been on campus. Maybe during some of their visits they took, 6-7 years ago, but since they've been here, they haven't got to experience this. So they're going to be jacked up. Like I said, Roger Williams pushed all the right buttons last weekend, and I think we saw kind of a game plan last weekend of how we're probably going to approach this upcoming weekend. If you can just kind of copy and paste that, I think the proof is in the pudding, and we've seen that we can have success with the plan that he put together for last weekend. And really, it's the same type of weekend. Since we went down there and won in three games, it's really the exact same approach. So I think if we can go down there, take care of business, I'd love this matchup. So I know we're getting to the end of this thing, and we're had a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of exciting things going around the program. But any final thoughts your way about the regional, super regional, or anything else you want to discuss before we kind of hop off here and take this thing in the home stretch for this weekend?
I'm not sure I mentioned it tonight, but I did just want to, when we talk about the pitching, I did just want to one more time, mention, I know I'd said it in some of the lives that we did last weekend, but the importance of Matt Klein to this pitching staff just cannot be overstated.
Yep.
He's obviously he swung it great. I mean, a couple bombs, had some good, had a two-hit night then the next day, but in the championship Sunday, but him behind the plate has made a world of difference. And again, I don't mean that as a knock to anybody else who stepped behind the plate, during this season, whether it's Maori or Baker or Tagger, those guys did an admirable job, and they were called in to, some of them called in to do things that, to be quite honest, they were not prepared to do, and just, they weren't ready for it. But Matt is just, Matt's going to be a pro here in a couple months, and someone's going to get a really, really good catcher. Both behind the plate and in the box. A cerebral catcher as well. We've talked about his great point average on here, and he's, Matt's not taking, underwater or basket weaving classes or whatever people like to say when they make fun of school, but, just a huge, huge, huge addition to get him back. It's almost like, when you're going through like an MLB season, you've had a guy hurt and then he comes back in like August or September and you're like, well, we don't need to make any acquisitions at the deadline because we get this guy back. And I know that it's not necessarily that way in college baseball, but I mean, you feel like you made it, you almost got a new piece, the guy's gone for 2 months and he comes back in, and it made a world of difference. So just another hat tip to Matt for sure. Kid was outstanding. So just going forward, that's a huge deal as well. And I mean, I did want to just real quick shout out, we got some boys heading to some commits and some signees heading to state this weekend. I had semi planned on being there depending on how things worked out. And so, no state tournament for me this weekend. I'll be in Louisville instead, but we got some boys from a couple 26s from Trinity. Obviously, Kate Elam and his guys down at Corbin will be they're going to match up with PRP on Friday night.
It's a good matchup.
We got Fox out there at McCracken. I think they might play the same day. Actually, they might go Friday as well. So won't be out there this weekend. If anybody advances, I guess maybe. Who knows? Who knows how next weekend goes? Hopefully, I'll be in Omaha. And not, right. I'd much rather be in Omaha than at that dump of Kentucky Proud Park over in Lexington. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, a lot going on right now, you know, with Louisville, obviously, KHSAA, you know, the state tournament going on, the racers, you know, continuing their thing. So just around the state locally, just good to see, you know, Louisville and Murray step up and represent the Commonwealth, because some of the other teams couldn't do that. I'm not talking about you, Western. I love you all my Hilltoppers down in Bowling Green. But no, just exciting time, and hopefully Louisville can pick up a couple W's and put a 2025 out on the outfield wall next to the College World Series appearances. So, Terry, you'll be there. I will be there this weekend cheering on the Cards. I know you'll be there doing your thing after the game, talking to Coach Mac and hopefully the players, because you only talk to the players after wins. So hopefully we get some videos with them as well. You've done a wonderful job. I've been throwing them out there on the timeline so everybody can see, because everybody wants more access to Louisville baseball. It's that time of year, and you are there to capture all the moments. So tell everybody where they can find that content going forward and through this weekend, because you'll be there and posting all weekend long.
Yeah, you can find me on X at InsideVilleBSB, so VilleBSB. Any content, you know, like I said before, I mean, it's nothing too wild. I try not to blow your timeline up too much, but, you know, every half inning or so, just, update kind of what's going on and try to tag some players and things so people can easier, you know, especially mostly I do it just so their parents can find the stuff, about them, much easier. And then, yeah, I mean, all the videos and stuff, any kind of post game, that kind of thing. Try to get out to practice. We're out at practice today. We'll be out there at practice again on Thursday. So there should be some media availability on Thursday as well, with both Louisville, Coach Mack, a couple guys. And I'm sure I'll probably stick around and watch the Miami practice and try to maybe talk to a couple of those guys as well and just kind of see what they're thinking about the weekend. So I'll probably post all that stuff this weekend. I didn't post any opposing team stuff last week. I should have posted that Tim Corbin presser. You know, it's too late for me to do it now, but I got it in my phone in case anybody wants to watch Tim Corbin have a meltdown with a reporter. So, but yeah, on YouTube, Inside Louisville Baseball on YouTube. Would love if you'd subscribe. But if you don't find it there, I tweet everything right or X mess whatever it is, tweet it back out, and you can find it that way. And again, just appreciate everybody for following along. I mean, it's, you know, I've had a, you know, when I started it 3 years ago, I mean, who knew, you know, I just was looking for some more info, and I just am very appreciative. I know it's not this like insanely huge deal, but more people follow every day, and I'm just sincerely appreciative of everybody that follows, likes, shares, does all that stuff. So I have a blast doing it, and I'm just very thankful that others want to, you know, kind of come along and see behind the program the same way that I do.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, this is your Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl. You know, the you're in it more than I am. But, you know, the Louisville baseball fans that start, like, and don't stop the whole way through, like, this is our Super Bowl. You know, a lot of Louisville fans, and I'm this way probably with basketball and football. I'm a casual fan, right? Like that, I like Louisville. I cheer for them in every sport. But you know, this is our Super Bowl, and you know, to see just kind of all the interactions that are going on this time of the year, it's cool for us because you know we're in it all year long. So I do love that part of it. It's fun. We meet people at the ballpark, and they'll kind of, you know, come up and talk to us when you're there and, you know, see you from the podcast or whatnot. You know, that stuff's cool. Or, you know, receiving DMs, you know, people just want to talk baseball. I'll talk baseball with anybody, right? Like that's one of my favorite things to do is just talk baseball, specifically Louisville baseball. So we love this time of the year. We'll be out there cheering on the Cards. Like I said, hopefully bring a couple wins and keep this train rolling out to Omaha, because I think as good as we've seen this team, I don't think we've seen our best yet. Like, I think we can continue to grow on what we've seen in Nashville this weekend. So wherever you find the podcast, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever that may be, share it with your friends, share it with your family, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. It goes a long way with us, and we greatly appreciate it. So Terry, we'll be there Friday. We'll be there Saturday, and hopefully that's it. I'd love to go back to the ballpark and watch another baseball game on Sunday, but I hope I don't have to. Let's just knock this thing out Friday and Saturday and call it a W and go ahead and smack that Louisville name up on the wall to head to Omaha. So we'll be here next week to talk about it. Win, lose, or draw. We'll get back on and kind of talk about how everything goes and what the off season is going to look like for Louisville and keep everybody engaged through summer ball, recruiting, and all that good stuff, even if we do lose. So we'll be here no matter what. But in the words of Sean Moth, we will see you at the ballpark.